So I'm going to ask everybody to mute if you can, so that the sound will be the best for the recording of Denise's talk today. And here's Denise.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. And yeah, I'm very fond of the time I spent with you teaching and learning in practitioner class. It was quite a joy. And I continue to learn so much from you just by the beauty you are in the world and the heart that you share. So thank you, Connie. So today the chapter in the Can We Talk to God is about prayer and treatment. When I was reading it, it seemed to talk a lot about faith. So I'm going to talk a little bit about faith and also about prayer and treatment and the steps and why science of mind, why we do that. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So the first thing, faith, the way it's described several times in the book, but I wrote down, faith is not a dogma, a creed, or a statement of being. It is a certain mental approach to reality. It is an affirmative approach as opposed to a negative one. It is an agreement as opposed to denial. And I wanted to, when I was in science of mind, it's interesting, Connie last week was talking about the science part really resonated with her, and it just made sense and it was logical. And yet there was the heart piece that was a little bit, the love piece that was and you know, my experience was I loved the scientific, the logic, the, you know, you've got these steps and all of that. But at some point for me, I felt like what I was experiencing was missing the heart piece. You know, like the saying that when early on when I was in science of mind, it would be like, well, what did you do to create that? And it almost felt like, you know, bam, bam, smacking you, like, you know, why are you doing that to yourself? And that was really challenging. And so when I was in ministerial school, though, and learned about other, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism and all of them, finding that love piece, the heart piece, was so important to me. When I was in St. Louis, I also used to attend other churches. And I went to this really huge church. I think it was Pentecostal. And the reason why is, I mean, I heard a lot of great things about the pastor, but also they just had this huge production of music, and it was just joy, joy, fun. And it was awesome. So one time when I was there, there was this missionary that came to speak. And he talked about, he was a missionary in Africa, and he talked some about what he did there and his own faith. And he mentioned that while he was there, he ended up, they used to check in with a nurse, you know, once a month or something, that his blood work came back. And I can't remember, but I'm just going to say, I think it was like leukemia. And, you know, they basically were saying that, you know, not a lot you can do, take this, you know, to help. And he's like, and they're like, come back in a month or whatever. And he was like, nope, I'm going to be back every day until that changes. And he said he would go out every night and pray. And he would just embody his own knowing of God and his health and his well-being and his purpose. And he went back every day. And it was like by day 15 or 16, it didn't show in the blood work anymore. And I mean, I was astounded by this, because sometimes early on when we're treating and we are still learning how to have that faith and have that knowing of God, that God is everything and joy and love and abundance and health and beauty. And then recognizing that, wow, that's in me. That's part of me. And that's kind of the challenge we face when we're looking at trying to demonstrate what it is that we've treated for or prayed for, is having that embodiment and that acceptance and that allowing to experience all that God is, and knowing that that is who we are. And that, I mean, we use the word deserve, but it's a given. It's already who we are. It is what we are. And it's just our humanness that, like, has that resistance to, like, well, I don't know, I'm not sure I deserve that, or I don't think that's possible, and those kinds of things. So I was so, it really was powerful to me, because sometimes in, you know, more traditional Christian churches, they do have that blind faith of just knowing, you know, God and Jesus, they got my back. And it takes time when we're learning about thought and how it creates and who we are, and that we are that divine. And so opening ourselves up to that and allowing ourselves to feel that that God presence is in us and is moving through us and showing up as us. So another quote I wanted to read from this chapter is, the mind cannot accept what it rejects. It cannot embody what it denies. It will not accept what it refused to believe. Prayer, faith, and belief are mental attitudes. And this is important. It is written that faith shall heal the sick and God shall raise them up. This implies a human act followed by an act of God. It also implies that without such a human act, the act of God will not follow. The act of God follows our faith in God. That was on page 82. I didn't write page numbers down for all of these, but to me, that's important, because it's saying that when we do prayer and treatment, it's not us that's doing the healing. It's our allowing and coming to that consciousness of knowing that it's already there, that God is in and through and as all things. That when we allow our consciousness to truly have faith and have that belief and knowing that it is already so, that that's how the universe, the law, God, the divine, brings it into fruition. And another really quick one was, as man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And this is why the prayer of faith is so effective, is that it's coming to that place that we know in our mind, in our heart, that all that God is, we are. That all those qualities are a part of our life. That as we allow our consciousness, our mind, our thoughts to relax into that place and to really feel that connection with spirit, that that's when we demonstrate what we pray and treat for. So and I wrote down, like, well, of course we want to accept what we're treating for. I mean, you know, that's the point. So what's the significance of that? And another quote from the book, faith elevates the prayer to conviction and acceptance. Where does God come in? God is already in and does not have to come from anywhere to anywhere. God is the entire process, both in our thought as individuals and in the universal as answering our individual thought. The prayer of faith makes it possible for the law to respond and do the thing desired. So I've noticed that, like in Science of Mind, you know, people ask, why five steps of treatment? You know, why is that? And early on, actually, there were seven steps of treatment. And then there's other churches and people that, you know, say, oh, you only need three or you only need one. So why did Ernest Holmes do that, create that process or share this with us? For me, my understanding is that it's really about getting ourselves into a place where we really embody and feel the presence of God as all that is. So the first step, recognition, is God is. God is everything, you know. And we spend time in that step just really allowing ourselves to truly know that and feel that. And from there, we then go to the next step of unification, where we acknowledge that we are also one with that. And if you're treating with for someone else, it's also knowing that they are one with that. And then, you know, and you spend as much time as you need in that step until you feel that that is true, that that is so, because it already is. It's really just a matter of convincing ourselves or allowing ourselves to really feel it, know it. And then from that point, we go on to the unification, or not the, that was the unification. We go on to the realization declaration where, you know, that's where they say, this is where you ask for what you want. But some of what I understand and was reading as well, it's not so much that we're petitioning and asking, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, you know. It's more of affirming and knowing that it already is part of spirit and part of us, and allowing ourselves to experience it. Because it's always available. And then, you know, the gratitude step, and some will say, and we've talked about this before, that the gratitude step is really like the only step you need. That if you get in that place of just being grateful about spirit and about all that the divine is and all that the divine is in you, that that's really all you need. And it's such an elevated vibration, you know. And that's what attracts all those wonderful good things that already exist out there, but then come into your experience. And the last step, releasing, letting go. And he says somewhere in here about that, let's see. The release step. It says there is a subtle element here, that of knowing the truth and then letting go, so that the truth may demonstrate itself. Perhaps this is one of the most difficult things to understand in spiritual work. Our thought is creative, but we do not make it so. It was so before we realized it. Not will, but willingness. Not coercion, but conclusion. I'm going to read that last sentence again. Our thought is creative, but we do not make it so. It was so before we realized it. It's not will. It's not our will, but our willingness. And it's not coercion, like give me, rah, make it happen, but conclusion. It's, yeah, I've concluded that, yeah, this exists. This is who I am. And this is my life. And I express and I am and I love and I'm healthy and all of those wonderful qualities of God. So one of the quotes in the book that I just love, it says, "We must know that we know and not merely be lukewarm in our convictions." And I mean, that's important, because if you're just kind of like on the fence, like, yeah, maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to allow and accept, then the law that we talk about is like, okay, well, if you're not sure, I'm not sure either. So, and, you know, it can only bring to us what we know, what we accept, what we allow. One other quick statement. Mental healing is accomplished not through a coercion of consciousness, but through its illumination. Through its illumination. And I wrote, yes, yes. Because again, that just, it's like, your being, your mind, your heart, your body illuminates. It just feels that connection. You're in that same vibration of God, of love, of joy, of health and wealth and all those things. So you're illumined. I mean, that just, to me, it's like your light is shining. You are that. You've illumined that. You know that all of this is a part of who you are. So again, the five steps of treatment really, to me, are, it's a tool. It's a tool. People pray in all different ways. But this is a tool that works. It works, and it works because we spend time in knowing the presence of God. And then we spend time in recognizing that that's also who we are, that's in us. You know, and then we throw in some things, affirming and knowing those pieces of us that maybe we're not experiencing yet, but we are recognizing that it's possible because the divine is everything, and that's a part of who we are. So. And then I just feel like, you know, the gratitude, it's just, that just hops off that vibration, that energy, that knowingness, that consciousness of yes, 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 yes. And then the release part, I mean, a lot of times, science of mind, I mean, the release part is as simple as just saying, I release it into the law, or I let go. As human beings, letting go is sometimes challenging, you know, when you lose something, you know, whether it's a thing or a person, you know, a relationship, a job, anything, that it stirs up stuff for us and we kind of want to hold on to it. And so in that step, it's important to have that faith and trust. And say, you know, it's done. It's done. I know it is. I feel it. Versus that, like, going, I don't know if I can trust God to do that. So I got to get out there and do what I got to do and make it happen. So this step is just so important because, again, it's just about consciousness. It's just about going, yes, I trust. I have faith. I have spent this time knowing that God is good and that I'm a part of that and that all the divine qualities are a part of me. And I just allow the experiences of more beauty, more joy, more love to come into my existence. And so, you know, Connie talks a lot about the law of attraction and stuff too. And The reason why Connie's the one that shared that with me years ago, the reason why I resonate with that as well is just knowing that our bodies are vibration, energy. Biology was one of my favorite classes where they talk about that energy never goes away. It just changes form. And, you know, if you learn about like each cell has its own vibration, its own energy, this bookcase here has its own, even though we can't see it, it is vibrating molecules, which is fascinating. And so when you understand that some of those scientific things that have been proven and shown, that that's also who we are, little vibrating atoms, that we can vibrate at higher levels, higher energies, you know, that which is like love and gratitude are some of the ones in joy. And by doing so, we allow things to come in that match that vibration. So it lines up just a little different way, but it lines up with prayer and treatment and faith, because it is that energy and it is that acceptance that brings that which we desire more in our experience to us. There is a story I've told before, but I just think it's pretty cute, about these frogs that are going through the forest and they fall in a hole, really a pit. And a couple of them fell in, a couple of them didn't, and they're standing up there and it's getting ready, it's starting to rain. And the frogs that are in the pit start jumping, you know, trying to see if they can get out of the pit. And the frogs that are at the top are going, no, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. So you just, why bother? And one of the frogs just stops, gives up basically, and just dies in the pit. The other one just keeps jumping and they're going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You give up. You fall out. What are you doing? Finally, he jumps so high that he comes out of the pit. And they were just astounded. And they were like, why did you keep jumping when we told you you couldn't do it? He goes, oh, I didn't know that. Y'all were waving your arms, thought you were cheering me on. It's like, I'm already here and I didn't realize. Y'all were like, ah, he's like, you can do it. And I don't know why this story just struck me for this particular talk. It's just that it's that that resistance, you know, where they were saying, you can't do it, you can't do it. But he didn't believe it. He thought they were cheering him on. And so he got to a point where he believed, hey, they're telling me I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And so he did. And that's important for us to do as well. It's developing that belief, and regardless of whether someone's telling you you can't or you can, knowing that you can, that that is possible, that it is already available. It's right there. Like Connie will talk about it in a different way with law of attraction, that it's like, you know, it's in your, I can't remember the name right now. Like it's in this bank of things that you've been wanting and trying to attract. And so it's in our consciousness and our awareness that if we just open our hearts and know that it's already available to us, then that's what we will experience. One of the things that I was talking about earlier in the steps of treatment is like, well, how do we know when the treatment is done? This quote says, there is no mental coercion nor willpower nor strenuous demand made upon the universe. The demand is made upon ourselves as the practitioners. The argument takes place within the minds of those giving the treatment and is finished when our minds reach the conclusion that there is nothing but good. Just sit with that for a second. So that's kind of what I was saying. You know, you can do one step, you can do seven steps, you can talk for 20 minutes in a prayer, you can talk for 2 minutes in a prayer. It really, there is no set thing that you have to do. You know, you can do the five steps of treatment, you can pray in all kinds of ways. It's really about the faith and the belief that you have and the allowing. And so if you make one statement and you know that it's true, then, and so it is. It's done. It's done already. If you're in one of those days where you're feeling tense and frustrated, it may take you a little bit longer in those first couple of steps to really relax, to feel that presence of God. And that's okay too. So I, you know, this chapter was so full of so much. You see, I underline and star all kinds of things, and there's no way I can read all that to you. I'd have to just read the whole book, read the chapter to you. And I want to also recommend, this is a really awesome book called Effective Prayer by Ernest Holmes. It's a nice little goodie with all kinds of great stuff about demonstrating by knowing. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that the power of faith, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a science of mind, or whether you're Pentecostal or Buddhist or whatever, the power comes from knowing that God is all there is and God is in us and being grateful. That's it. So I'm complete today.